don't know about y'all, but I'm tired. Tired of the mess. Tired of the way that a nation has turned their back against God. I'm tired of the way that the schools are treating their kids. I'm tired of the way the government's treating the people. But I'm not tired of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. All those other things, they're going to get waxed worse and worse, and we know it. But our hope is not in this world, you know. And as I was reading in Jeremiah, and I always read a couple, two, three chapters ahead and then come back and read what we're talking about. But it's about ready to get real bad for Jeremiah here and from 18 forward. I mean, he's just, up till now, he's just been, thus saith the Lord. And he's saying, warning or blessing, warning or blessing. You have a choice, repent and God will bless you, or continue in your way and God's going to send a judgment on you that you're not going to be able to stand. And today as we get into the scripture, when we get around verse 18, we're going to see a paradigm change or a different look. Something changes in verse 18, that now the world system, because of the preaching and the faithfulness of Jeremiah, is going to start to set a plan against the prophet of God. And we're going to see in a couple chapters as we go through this that it's going to wax worse and worse for him. But God, right? God will raise him up in the end, at the end of things. And so in chapter 18, this is where we are. And let me go to the Lord real quick in prayer. Father, I pray as we go over this chapter 18, Father, I pray that we would be those people, Lord, that would desire to be remolded, to be broken and rebuilt in the hands of the Most High God. Lord, you know what kind of vessel is going to give you the best glory. And Father, if whatever it takes to make a people your people, to make a group to really want you and to love you and to fear you and walk before you all the days of their life, whatever that looks like, whatever that takes, Father, I pray that you wouldn't start it in someone else's life until you start it in mine. Lord, and I pray that you would move mighty over this congregation to prepare us for the day, that you will make us into the body that you would have us to be, to glorify you with all of our thoughts, all of our heart, all of our mind, that we would say things and live in a manner that would glorify you with all that we have. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. That word cause, I got it underlined and marked through a couple times there. God's going to cause you. Listen, remember, he's looking for a people group that are going to be obedient to what he says, a people group that are willing to speak the word of God in the gates or in the very front part of the city, to boldly proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And he says, Jeremiah, I'm going to show you a thing that you can't understand right now, but I'm going to cause you to hear my voice. I like that, because you cannot manufacture God's voice. You can't make it happen. You don't force it. God causes you to hear him. He moves over you first before you seek him. He calls you while you're in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your blindness. You don't seek God without God calling your name and asking you to come. Right? It's all his work. It's not yours. And I find great comfort in that, because I know how wicked of a person I really am. You know, I am not worthy. But God said, Joshua, Kevin, John, church right here, I love you and I want you to hear me. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. And then he puts him in this situation. Then I went down, arise and go down to the potter's house. So there's a command, and I will cause thee to hear my words. So he's looking for somebody who will get up and go to where he tells him to go. All right, now think about this. If the Lord woke you up tomorrow morning and said, hey, I want you to get up and go to some place that you're not expecting to go, right? It's outside of your normal circle of things that you do. You know, who here has a routine? I do, right? And God says, I don't want you to do your routine. I want you to go somewhere different and see something that I'm going to show you. When you get there, I'm going to talk to you. Right? It takes some adjustment. It takes an obedience. So he tells him to do that. And then I went down to the potter's house. That needs to be your heart. Whatever God sends you to do, whenever he tells you and talks to you and says, I need you to do this, then you get up and you go to where he tells you to go. Right? He went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, you can put your town, your name, because you are the building of God, you're the temple of God, you put your name right in there. He is talking to the house of Israel nation. We could put America right there. O America, O house of Israel, O America, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hand, in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Hey, come on, do we really, only those who are really in tune to the word of God can believe that. And the ones that don't believe it, they're still in his hand. He has complete and total authority over what's going to happen, and he will move as the people's heart moves. And we're going to see that here in the next couple of verses. God doesn't want to do what he's being forced to do. He doesn't. I really don't think God wants the world to collapse in utter darkness. That's not what he wants. He wants people to come to salvation. He wants people to come to the light and be in the light as he is in the light. So as he's saying, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. What instant shall I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turns from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. All right, this brought to my mind 2 Corinthians 7, of course, 14, if my people, right? Chronicles, right? I got Chronicles right here. I said it wrong. And so, but that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you look in verse 11 and you read it all the way down to 22, there is that blessing in there if the people will come to him. But if they turn from his statutes, if they walk away from his commandments, he promises, he gave his word. God said, I am going to pluck you out of the land. If you do this, if you sin against me, talking to a nation, if the nation turns their back on the living God and moves away from the living God, God said, I will pull you out of what I promised to you. But there's always that other side of it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced to turn from their evil, I will repent from the evil that I thought to do unto them. Again, if America is at a very strategic spiritual point right now, there's still a chance. It's the closer that God's hand is moving against this nation, the less of a chance it's going to be. But right now, before the axe drops, America, if we would repent from the sin, if we would stop perverting the children, if the parents of the children would come up and say, this far and no further, my child did not come from a monkey. He was created in the image of God. My male child is a boy. My female child is a girl. All right? Marriage is between one man and one woman and nothing else. Nothing else is marriage. There's only one truth, and that is the Word of God, the King James Bible. There is no other truth. If the parents of the children would stand up and say this far and no further, guess what would happen? God would move in favor of this country again. God would move and he would say, I will not crush America like a grape or a cockroach under my foot. Because that's about what God's going to do really soon.
We still have a chance, all right? But it's got to start in the church. He's talking about a nation revival. I'm not talking about a lot of folks coming together singing Kumbaya and moving to the music. Through the preaching of the Word of God, through the fear of God, through knowing the judgment of God, through knowing the sin of mankind, and if we would choose God over our own sinful flesh, God said, I will bless you. If you follow my commandments, you follow my statutes, I don't have to kill you. And I don't want to kill you. God has no joy in the death of the wicked. Oh, but the death of the saint, there's a celebration in heaven for that one. And as he says in verse 9, and at what incident shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, if that nation does evil in the sight of God, watch any, listen to any, look at any of the airwaves, listen to any of the radio stations, listen to wherever you get your news, wherever you get your information, and can we find any movement of America not doing evil in the sight of God? I looked today. I did. I looked today at every news outlet that I could find just to find some good, some redeemable thing that when you compare it to the Word of God, that it was not evil. And today, I don't get on the searchy things very often looking for that kind of. I couldn't find a single thing that I could say praise God to. That, and no, I'm not a super duper computer guy. There may have been one thing in a personal family somewhere that they could say praise God to. But on the national scene, on the world scene, the economic scene, the government scene, the wars and the rumors of war scene, the food scares that are coming up this next year, I didn't see anything that people were doing. When I heard that mess about Caledonia schools refusing children to taxpayer parents because they're homeschooling, that they can't even sing or play a musical instrument in school. What? Yeah, that's what I said. What?
They're singling people out, and then they're saying that, you know, discrimination is what, you know, these people are doing, and this is why we have this in place. And they're the ones that are doing it. They're the ones that are racist. They're the ones that are discriminating.
Yeah.
They're separating people.
And so God says, if it do evil in my sight, and that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherein I have said I would benefit them. God has blessed America. You know that song, God Bless America? The next line should be, but what have we done? We kill our children in the womb. We allow their minds to be perverted by this education system. We allow sexual deviance to come in and train our children. We allow the pulpits of America to be polluted with false doctrine. And we allow it. The nation supports it and allows it. And I can't see where, unless the people repent, I can't see where God is even able through his word to hold his hand of judgment away from this godless nation that we're living in, that we made. We made this. It didn't have to be this way. We could have stayed to the true word of God, but we as a people group wanted the comforts of this world over the glory of God. And that's really what it was. And so anyhow, I will repent of the good wherewith I said that I would benefit them.
Now therefore, go to and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one of you, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Last call for righteousness here, right? Tell everyone in Judea, tell everyone in Jerusalem, tell everyone in Caledonia, tell everyone in York, tell everyone in Rochester, tell everyone that you know. Because even the unbelievers right now are saying that they truly think that the hand of God is coming down on the nation. Even those who don't proclaim Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are feeling the pressures of God removing His sovereign protection off of this nation. They are starting to fear. And now God is looking for a people group that would stand on the street corner and say, Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and show the works worthy of your repentance and be baptized, get saved and be baptized. We must start saying that and not being ashamed. Are they going to hate you for it? Yes, they're going to hate you for it. Are they going to kick you out of the social groups? Yes, they're going to keep you out of the social groups. But if we are not the watchman on the wall that Ezekiel chapter 3 tells us to be, the blood's going to be on our hands. It's just plain and simple. That God said, I've made you as a watchman on the wall. And when we see the trouble coming, it is our calling, our high duty to express that to a lost and dying generation. And if they repent, then you saved a soul, or you didn't save a soul for salvation, you saved a soul from destruction. All right? But if you don't do it, that soul that dies during the onslaught of the wicked that God unleashes on that nation, if you don't do it, their blood will be on our hands. I didn't say your hands, because I'm just as guilty as everybody. Right? I'm not anybody any better than anyone else. Therefore, thus says the Lord, 13, Ask ye now how among the heathen, and hath heard such things. The virgin Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? In a hot and dry, dreary land, you look for snow. My wife is saying, yay, a snow verse. I'm not on that side. But if I was in a dry, thirsty place, would I turn down a snow cone? No, I would not. I wouldn't turn down the goodness, the moisture, the material, the minerals that come from snow. I wouldn't turn that down. But he's saying, the heathen nation, the virgin Israel, they have done a horrible thing. They left the blessings of God, the snows of Lebanon, the waters which come from the rock. They left that. They left from the cold flowing waters that came from any other place or another place, and they forsook it. America was blessed. We were blessed, folks. Look at what God allowed, the mental capacity of American people. And back to the education thing. Those great minds, when they were taught in school, it was mostly a one-room schoolhouse, right? So you had because they only went to like sixth grade in those years, way back in the early 1800s, because the Industrial Revolution really didn't kick off until it was mid-1800s when the Industrial Revolution kicked off and really started inventing things. But those folks who had the minds to do that, they were thinkers. They were problem solvers. They knew how to read, write, and arithmetic. You know, they... Read and write, that's all this. No. Yeah, did I? The three R's, right? Read, write, and arithmetic. Arithmetic. See, there's no there. It's just arithmetic. And so, but that's what they learned. They learned the very basics, and then they took the basics of just knowledge, mathematical understandings, and Gerald Ford made the first industrial line, right? Started making automobiles. They figured out the combustible engine. They figured out the steam engine. All those things started. Did I do that wrong? Henry, what did I call his name? Gerald Ford. One of them Ford fellas. Yeah, so, yeah, I meant Henry Ford.
I was trying to picture that.
Nixon helped too. And so, and so, wrong century. I looked at a lot of history stuff today. And so, you look at that and see what those men and those women did. Anyhow, we were blessed. God blessed this nation because we feared God in those days. We may not have been a completely holy nation. There were some really bad things that were going on, no doubt. But even in the bad stuff, people still called on Jesus, right? They may have not been perfect, but they did know God and they did fear God. They did some wicked things. No doubt they did. I'm not saying that they were beyond reproach in any manner. But the base of who they were, the base of their understanding, was the fear and the admonition of God. And God blessed them and he allowed their minds to create and to do things, to expand. And so, because the people have forgotten me, verse 15, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their way and from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. That's a promise from God. And he said, listen, the people forgot, and this is why he's going to do it. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense in vanity. We are in a time right now that people of America are worshiping a God-type movement, but this is a little G-God. When they're having revivals without the preaching of the Word of God, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And the thing is that I hear people saying, well, it's spreading across America. And it is spreading across America. It's spreading across the world. They say that there's this huge same thing that happened over in Kentucky is happening over in Brazil and in England right now, where everybody's singing their 7-Eleven songs, they're waving their hands, right? They're grooving to the music, but nobody's preaching the Word of God. They're calling it a revival without any repentance. They're calling it a revival, and I'm not saying that every single human being that walked in there didn't hear God, because you could have. God can work through anything he wants to. But a revival starts with the preaching of God's word. Faith comes through
hearing.
And?
Hearing by the word of God.
All right, so does faith come through, what's one of the modern music groups? Steppenwolf? Bethel, right?
Hillsong.
Steppenwolf.
Hillsong.
Hillsong. Right? I mean, really, is that how God sends revival?
It's not biblical.
Amen.
Biblical faith.
Yes, right.
I don't know what it is.
Amen. It's something different. It could be considered a new wine, but this wine isn't coming from God. This is a new liquor. That's getting people drunk.
Yeah.
stammering and stupidly intoxicated by emotions without the reality of the preaching of the Word of God. Yep, brother.
Cherubs sing, right? They're angels that sing, or they have a gift as far as music goes.
Lucifer did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
And there's nothing wrong with praising God with song. There's nothing wrong, but don't call that a revival. Call that a concert.
No, but he had like that special gift that God gave him, and you can see how the world does respond to this music.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a hand in that, I'm sure.
Well, and look at what that musical instrument called Lucifer did. I will make my throne higher than the Most High. Pride was lifted up in his heart because of the musical ability that he had, because of the glory. He was the great shining one, Lucifer, light bearer.
There's no, they're not grounded in scripture.
Thank you.
So if they're, you know, the Catholic Church is joining in with their,
Well, and again, there's this new movie that just came out, talking about the Calvary Chapel beginnings. What's it called? The Jesus Revolution. And all the world is glorifying this thing. I'm not telling you to watch it, and I ain't going to watch it. But I know how Calvary Chapel started. It is an offshoot of the emotional, I can't call the name of it, so I ain't going to go down that road. Be careful. The world is going to love this. And we know that Jesus said, John told Jesus, do not love the world or the things of the world, because if you love the world and things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Do not be fooled by divination, by the whiz-bang. Not that hippies can't be saved. Amen? Hippies can be saved. But what they did is the same thing that Constantine did in the Catholic Church. He pulled the world system into the church and made laws that mimicked the righteousness of God, but had no righteousness within themselves. And so be careful. You're probably going to know somebody who goes to this, and they're going to say it was the greatest thing since popcorn. Personally, popcorn's not that good. It tastes good, don't get me wrong. But if you got diverticulitis, you'll find out it ain't that good.
It's hard to fill up on.
Yeah, it really is. And so, but anyhow, but because the people have forgotten him, forgotten God, they burned incense in vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their way. Look at what God's saying. The people that should have been burning incense, correct, those would be the priests. The priest in the temple, but they burned incense with vanity in their heart, and them burning incense, worshiping God the wrong way from the pulpit, they made the people to stumble. Do you see? God's seeing right through the very center of this. They burn incense in vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. Folks, when there's a new thing coming, don't go down that path. It's time that we get back to the ancient paths. Do not move the ancient markers. Landmarks, right. Don't move the ancient landmarks. When you take this and you start translating it in 50,000 different words, I'm talking about the Word of God, and you start twisting it and turning it, and you take music, and Judy, she was telling me about this, when this whole hippie music started coming in. Well, they changed the beat, right? It used to be 1 and 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. And that's how it was done. And when this, they call it the backbeat. And they started changing all of the music to a backbeat music, which if you go back, all of the voodoo worship is on a backbeat. All of the gong playing, ball headed monkey people, monks, you know, those guys, I couldn't call the name of them, right? Their music, and I'm not putting them down, but the way, there's a rhyme and a reason, and music does, like Lance was saying, music does something to people. And we can get into the groove of it and miss the very depth that it's supposed to be. The way that the old hymns were written, it focused on the depth of the music, not the thrill of the music. And then in the 60s and 70s with the Jesus Freaks, they brought all of the rock and roll. In fact, one of their songs was, "Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music?" Well, first of all, it wasn't good music. I listened to it. It wasn't good. It made you, it brainwashed you into a different mindset, but it was not good. And I don't know, we're not supposed to look like the world. And when the preachers start burning incense in vanity or to vanity, then they teach the people how to stumble. And then after enough years, that stumbling becomes normal. And you, has anyone ever fell up? You always fall down, right? When you start losing ground, you're moving away from the thing that's holding you up. You're moving away from the righteousness, the holiness, the majesty of who God is. And you start, it changes your heart, yeah.
On Aaron's two sons, they burned strange fire before God.
Amen. He didn't like it.
Killed them.
Yeah, that quick. He sent fire from the altar.
And they said, he said not to lament over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
And here we've already read three times in Jeremiah where God tells them not to pray for these people anymore. Because God's going to do, he already knows the heart and the movement of the people. They have already corrupted their generations to the point that truth won't sink into them until he chastens them to the very end. Verse 18, this is where things start to change. So he shows them verse, "I will scatter them," and God's talking still to Jeremiah. "I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face on the day of their calamity." So when the judgment comes and they start crying out to God, God's going to say, "Talk to the hand." Right? "I'm not listening to you. You didn't listen to me. I warned you. I called you. You refused to come. So this is your just reward." And then they, talking about the people, "Then said they, Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." This was the beginning of the religious groups in Judah, in Jerusalem, the authorities of the time, the princes of Judah, they said, "Listen, Jeremiah is talking about the judgment of God. Well, we're not going to listen to him. We don't believe the word of God. We don't. I'm God's special person. I'm the bride of Christ. Would God really beat his bride?" That's what they're saying here. How many times have you heard that from your church folks that you love so much? God can't judge me. I'm his child. He won't do that to me. I can keep watching all these perverted things and listen to this perverted music and change the Bible. And I say little b Bible because they're not listening to the big G God, right? I can change these words. I can make them convenient to me. I can only read out of Jeremiah the things that please my flesh. I'm going to ignore all the rest. That's what these leaders of Jerusalem and Judah were saying. And then he said, they're going to start attacking him verbally.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
"Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah." Sounds a little bit like a conspiracy.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. "Let us devise devices." Yeah. Yeah. And look at what the world system is doing to those who truly trust and follow Jesus Christ right now today. Right now today. Because the parents don't want their children to be
messed up with this perverted education system, and they're pulling their children out. They're saying, let us devise devices against them and make their life miserable, make their children's life miserable, because we've got to pervert the children to get our agenda across to the next generation. And then God says, give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken, excuse me, that's not Jeremiah. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them, there it is, that contend with me. When they say things against you, go to the Lord in prayer. This is a prayer. Jeremiah is saying, I know what the world's saying against me. I know what the religious leaders, I know what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the governments are saying. Jeremiah didn't say, I'm going to go grab my staff and I'm going to go whack them in the noggin. I'm going to get my sling and I'm going to start throwing that rocks at them. He didn't say, I'm going to attack them. He says, I'm going to go to the quiet place. I'm going to go to the closet of my heart. I'm going to bare my heart before God, and I'm going to seek the God of creation to deal with these people. He says, give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have dug a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee, and I spoke good for them. And to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved, and their children, and to be widows, and let their men be put, let their men be put to death, and let their young men be slain by the sword in the battle. A cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to take vengeance for you. Right? You know that? When the world comes against you, instead of whining to each other about it, whine to God. Right? Yeah, and this is where we got to get things squared, even in this body, right? You know, because I know all of the wicked things that they're, I know what they're doing, but there's nothing I can do about it, but God can do everything about it. I pray for when the hard times really come that God is going to give me food. I don't know how. I might have to eat crow scraps. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know where we're going to find clean water. But I know God. I know God. I know God, and those folks who have a heart for God, they will find rest for their souls. Right? And that's where my faith has got to be, because this world system is coming against us. They're digging a pit and setting snares for the people of God every single day, and they have all of the earthly authority to do the wicked evils that they're doing, from the schools to the courthouses to the White House to the pulpits, right? Because the pulpits are coming against Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is preaching truth. The pulpits are coming against him. So God says, take care of them, Lord. Verse 23, yet, Lord, thou knowest their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Wow. I wrote on the side note over here, Romans 12:9, vengeance is mine and I will repay. God said that. Saith the Lord. Amen. It's not us to fight back. It's not when they come against us the way that they're going to come against us. Remember, Jesus promised that when they deliver you up to the synagogues, that he will give you, don't study on what you're going to say. Study every day, and when you need to say something, he'll give you what you need to say out of the word of God. Amen? It is well with my soul. It is good. I trust God more than I trust the enemies of this world, more than the enemies of God.
19 will be for next week. And it continues to talk about the potter. I think 18, I love this. This so far has been one of my favorite chapters out of Jeremiah. You know, because what I'm seeing here is what's happening right now in America. Those who truly trust God, who walk in His righteousness, His holiness, the world system is devising devices, setting snares, digging pits to entrap us. And it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, the trial should come. Let this blessed assurance control, right? Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Amen. So praise God. I love you guys. And anyone want to close in prayer? You want to sing that song, don't you? I see it in your eyes. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Will you sing it a cappella with me? Okay. Okay. I. It is well. I'm trying to find it in the book. Yeah, you can, or you don't have to, because it is an impromptu thing. It. I'm his. It is well with my soul.
Turn the recorder off.
Okay.